Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this series of podcasts, we have carefully selected recent articles included in the latest version of the OMA Obesity Algorithm. We then discuss this new science with obesity experts. I'm Mark Labriola, and in this episode, OMA Chief Science Officer Dr. Harold Bays interviews Dr. Lydia Alexander about a recent article on the effects of eating and drinking dairy products and the risk of heart disease. Obesity, a Disease podcast, is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association and the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also the Chief Science Officer of the Obesity Medicine Association. Welcome to this podcast where we review recent journal articles that are applicable to the obesity algorithm. Today we have with us Dr. Lydia Alexander. Lydia, why don't you tell the folks who you are and what you do?
Okay, thank you, Dr. Bays, for that.
Go ahead. All right.
As Harold mentioned, my name is Lydia Alexander, and I'm a internal medicine physician specializing in obesity medicine, practicing in the medical weight management program at Kaiser Permanente in San Francisco. I've been practicing obesity medicine since 2012 and board certified in 2015. I'm the secretary treasurer of the Obesity Medicine Association.
Right. And I think the folks should know, I know a few people more committed to nutrition and physical activity and implementing these things to patients than you. I mean, I think people should know that. That's a passion of yours, isn't it?
It is absolutely a passion of mine. I believe in the whole person approach when we think about these things, and the nutrition science is just fascinating.
Right. So, and what we would say would be patient-centered approach, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right. So today's article, this was published in The Lancet in 2018. The name of the article is Association of Dairy Intake with Cardiovascular Disease and Mortality in 21 Countries from 5 Continents. They call it the PURE study, and it's a prospective cohort study. And the reason they did this is because, I think as most people know, there are a lot of guidelines out there that recommend minimizing the consumption of whole fat dairy products, and they do so because part of the dairy products have saturated fats. So they do this study, and what was really interesting is they found that higher intakes of total dairy was associated with a lower composite risk of cardiovascular disease. So not a higher risk, but a lower risk. And they even looked at things like certain cheeses and such that had lower risk. And even butter intake, now it wasn't very much, okay? There weren't very many people that were eating the butter, but they found actually that butter really didn't do very much as far as affecting cardiovascular disease risk. So their interpretation was that dairy consumption was associated with a lower risk of mortality and major cardiovascular disease events in a diverse multinational cohort. So Dr. Alexander, I just got to ask you, what's going on here?
Well, I think as the science is showing us, and as you mentioned, this very large multinational 21 country study, that dairy as a food group is actually not as bad as we thought for us. I'm not sure it says butter is back, but I think
exactly.
At the same time, yeah. It's telling us that we should, read the data and see that, for instance, in this study and other studies, CVA, so stroke risk was lower, and so was overall mortality. And I think those are important endpoints in such a large study that we need to look at and take seriously.
Well, and one of the things you said there, hopefully people caught up on that, you said we got to look at the science. Now, by that, I'm just guessing you mean you don't look at the science that just agrees with your viewpoint, right? You got to look at the totality of the science. And what would be your assessment when you look at the totality of the science when it specifically comes to the consumption of dairy products? What's your sense about that?
Well, my sense about that is that, dairy, it's an entire food group. So we need to look at this entire food group and say, should we kick it out the door? Or, or is there something else here that we should be looking at? And it's diverse. There's butter, there's yogurt, which is fermented, kefir, same thing, cheeses, same thing, milk. And so as a diverse food group, that's, there's saturated fatty acids, but the composite, there's, all sorts of other things going on in there. And I'm not sure that we want to, exclude an entire food group based on one component.
So what I'm hearing from you is that dairy products in and of themselves are diverse. And what you mean by dairy, everything from yogurt to cheeses to all those types of things. But what I'm also hearing from you is even within a specific dairy product, it isn't just saturated fat, is it?
As it is with other food groups as well, there's more than one thing going on in there.
Right.
And so when we look at a study that is, that is looking at the entire food and as it's eaten and used in a dietary way, that we see that for whatever reason, and there's a lot going on in there, that the saturated fat in dairy is not so bad for us.
Right, and so even when it comes to meats and such, meats and other types of foods, they're not just saturated fats, are they?
There are many, many components. We don't eat, macronutrients or micronutrients. We eat foods. And I think it's important to look at each of these macronutrients. And, we wouldn't malign the entire category of, proteins, for instance. At least these days, we're not going to do that. And so I think that we need to be a little more nuanced in our approach to other macronutrient groups as well, such as the fats, because there's more there's more than one thing going on in there. And we know, for instance, with trans fats, that trans fats are very different and not very good for us, and that fats found in processed foods are not very good for us. But we can't really translate that science to fats we might find in dairy or vegetables or salmon or any variety of actual foods.
Right. And I think the analogy would be, I think we've come to understand that you can't just take one little piece of a food and, if you think that's healthy, extract that, give it to patients, and think automatically that's going to make things better. And I would give you the example of a lot of the vitamins that people take, these supplemental vitamins and such. You just can't take these minute amount, what is normally a minute amount of these substances within foods, as you mentioned, give it to patients and think they're going to get better. And I think the same analogy would be, you can't just extract one type of fatty acid from an entire food and say, we think this is bad, therefore the entirety of the food is bad. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
That's absolutely right. And even within saturated fatty acids or the fat group in general, the fat macronutrient group, we see that there'll be short, medium, and long chain fatty acids in there, and that there are mono, polyunsaturated, and then the saturated fatty acids as well. So it's a very, it's a very diverse group, and we can't possibly, kind of group it all together and believe that all those different biochemical components all, do the same thing.
Right. So that does make it a little bit more complicated, is that when you talk about dairy, there's differences between yogurt and cheese and milk and these types of things. So there's a diversity. But even within each dairy product, there's a diversity of the fatty acids within that. And then even among saturated fats, there's some saturated fats that don't increase LDL cholesterol. So even within the context of saturated fats, there's variances in how they affect patients. So I think I hear what you're saying is that I don't know how we can take that information and then condemn an entire food group. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Absolutely. I don't think we can condemn an entire food group and not look at the science behind that.
Right. And when we talk about the science, we are including this study, which is the PURE study. And in this study, it says dairy consumption was associated with a lower risk of mortality and major cardiovascular disease events in a diverse multinational cohort. So finally, let me just ask you this, Dr. Alexander. What is the takeaway message that clinicians should have regarding this study and this topic?
I think the takeaway message is, as we've mentioned before, that we have to be nuanced in our understanding of foods, and we can't just group them in big, big categories and then toss them out because of one component, and so. That is very, very important. I think nutrition science is an exploding, research field right now, and is coming down the pike. We're going to find a lot more, nuance and detail that's going to really help guide our clinical judgment. And I'm looking forward to seeing more studies like this that are giving us some great data and allowing us to make, better evidence-based decisions around food groups, around a lot of these things.
Right. And when we say evidence-based, we mean all the evidence, just the evidence we want to see, right?
Yeah, okay. That's absolutely right.
That agree with us. All right, super. Okay, well, again, my name is Dr. Harold Bays. You've been listening to a podcast with Dr. Lydia Alexander. Lydia, thanks for being here. And I want to thank you for attending this Obesity Medicine Association podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Bays and Alexander. For more information about Obesity Medicine Podcasts and other resources from the clinical leader in obesity medicine, please visit obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Love this episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show host and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.